You are a very bad girl.
His voice rolls through me, singeing the parts of my skin that brush against him. You should definitely punish me. I can barely get out the words because I'm laughing and out of breath and so turned on I might burst. I try to wiggle out of his hold, but his grip tightens as he lifts me up, and despite the blast of water tunneling down my clothes, when my ass grazes the huge erection in his jeans, I groan and thrust back. Need fires through my veins, and just like that, we're a tangle of eager hands. I don't have to tell him how I feel. He knows. The hose drops to the ground, and we stumble to the side of the stall, where he pins me to the smooth beige wall.
Wanna fuck you so hard,
he groans against my ear, his voice gravelly. Do it. Please, God, do it. One hand dives under my shirt and bra, palming my sensitive skin, kneading and pinching, making me gasp in delight at his roughness. The other snakes under the leg of my shorts. The rumble of his chest tells me he likes what he finds when he slicks a finger against my skin. Me, swollen and wet and so ready. Back and forth he teases while he seals his mouth to my neck. He sucks and licks and bites me, all the while grinding his cock against my ass. We've had amazing sex. Sweet sex, sultry sex. But this is different. This feels out of control, desperate, impulsive, and wild. His breath is ragged, and his fingers dig into my skin, and he's telling me how he can't wait to fuck my pussy, how I make him so hard, how I'm the only woman who's ever made him this crazy. Hurry, I gasp, needing to feel him. He releases me, and I whip off my tank and shove down my shorts. The clink of his belt hitting the floor is the last thing I hear before he's on me again. My damp back makes a slick sound when he yanks me to his sweaty chest, but the feeling of his hot erection, full and thick against my thigh, makes me arch my spine.
Hold on to this. Don't let go,
he commands. Bracing my hands on a bar just above my head, he explores my nipples and my waist and the wet valley between my thighs, all while I hold on to the warm metal. But the sweltering heat of the barn makes it hard to breathe, and watching his movements along my body makes it harder still. Watching his hand move under my panties. Seeing his forearm flex and contract while he works me over, the pounding of my heart resonating from somewhere beneath the pad of his coarse fingers. He knocks my legs farther apart so he can breach my opening. I'm already so close to the edge, his touch has me crying out.
Remember, don't let go.
His voice is tight. I'm nodding, even though I'm confused why he's stepping away. But when he dips to his knees in front of me and grabs my ass, pulling my thighs to his face, all I can do is moan and writhe. From this angle, I can see every movement of his tongue as it parts my lips and licks up my center. The erotic movement of my hips as I ride his face, the searing pleasure in his eyes as he watches me come apart. My body is still twitching with delirium when he positions himself behind me, slides himself against my folds, once, twice, three times, and drives into me with one epic thrust. Fuck me standing. It feels too good, too intense, and my knees quake.
Hold on.
And then he's hoisting my thighs over his, and I tilt forward, barely clinging to the bar. Except I don't want him to stop, don't want him to put me down. My knuckles are turning white, but I won't let go. I feel like we're doing some crazy acrobatic move I read in Cosmo once. Maybe the wheelbarrow or the superwoman? But my torso is more upright, and at this angle my thighs are snug against his hips as he tunnels in and out of me, and that tension, all that delicious pressure that has me strung tight, makes my core clench and strain against his huge intrusion. But before I can analyze how I'm feeling so good, so euphoric, even though my arms are this close to slipping off the bar, I'm coming again and screaming, shuddering around him.
Oh, fuck, baby.
He grunts as his cock swells and jerks inside me. Gasping and panting, we barely keep from tumbling to the ground. Just as my hands slip, he hugs my torso tight, leaning me against the wall. Gently, he puts my legs down, and with a wicked smile, I realize he's still twitching inside of me. So I nuzzle back and let him finish. Tiny dancer got an eyeful, I joke, loving how he's nestled against me, arms slung around my chest, his face tucked into my neck. When he doesn't respond, I reach back and thread my fingers through his hair, but I'm met with silence. With a groan, he slides out of me, and I wince at the bite of pain between my legs. But hell, I'd take being sore any day if it means sex that hot. I watch as he takes care of the rubber I didn't even realize he'd slid on earlier. I'm on the pill, and he knows that, but he's been meticulous about using condoms. We're quietly putting on our soggy clothes, and I'm wondering why he hasn't said anything when he reaches for me and clears his throat.
Are you okay, baby? Was I too rough?
Smiling, I reach up to stroke his face. I love every kind of sex you have to give me. Feral happens to be my favorite. A chuckle vibrates his chest.
I love having you here. You and my kids are the best part of my day.
My stomach quivers, every part of me lighting up from what he just said as he leans down to kiss me. It's sweet and soft and a complete 180 from what we just did, but it makes me want to take an emotional snapshot of this moment, of us and his gentle touches in the half-lit barn. Of the tender look in his eyes that tells me more than any words he's uttered. Of the full-bodied wave of affection welling up in me for this man. For once in my life, I'm not afraid of the future or my place in this world. Because Ethan brings me hope that maybe my past happened for a reason. That it brought me to this place with him. And I wouldn't change that for anything.
Chapter 38, Ethan. Exhaustion weighs my bones, and I sink deeper into the couch. Next to me, Cody snuggles on Tori's lap, and I smile to myself as I watch him gingerly stroke the tendrils that cascade over her shoulder. He's obsessed with her hair, like father, like son. I reach over and grab a long lock from her other shoulder and twist it in my fingers. So soft. She smiles at me from under those thick lashes, and even though I got up at 4 this morning and baked all day outside in 95-degree Texas heat, that one glance gives me a kick of adrenaline. I can't stop thinking about what we did in the barn last weekend. How she let me take her hard and desperate, like a goddamn animal rutting away to release. I've never been that rough with a woman before, and as soon as we were done, I felt a pang of shame for not being more delicate with her. Even more shocking, though, was the playful look in her eyes when she told me how much she enjoyed it. How she likes it feral and wild. If the scratches on my back from last night are any indication, she's not lying. That I have any energy at all to do more than fall face first into bed each night is a miracle, but Tori seems to give me superpowers.
Daddy, can I have one more?
Mila is kneeling in front of the coffee table, reaching for the last slice of pizza. Sure thing. I probably shouldn't be ordering pizza for dinner. I should be counting every penny and praying the judge doesn't dismantle my ranch this week. But with how hard Tori's been working alongside me this week, I couldn't let her cook one more meal, and I barely had the energy to drag myself in from the barn. She's been a lifesaver, an angel, but the girl is running herself ragged, looking after the kids, helping me with the office, cooking for us. You'd think she'd be cranky as fuck. I am. But she does it all with the sweetest smile. Makes me want to lavish her with love and affection.
Daddy?
Hmm?
Is Tori your girlfriend?
Alarmed, I look at my daughter, whose attention is darting between me and Tori, and I realize we're sitting side by side on the couch, with Tori in a corner and me right next to her, even though there's a good 3 feet on my right side. And sometime in the last few minutes, I put my arm around her shoulders. Sitting up and resting my elbows on my knees, I rubbed the scruff on my chin, wishing I had planned for how I was going to explain this new development in our lives. Because I know whatever happens between me and Tori affects Mila and Cody, too. A quick glance to Tori tells me she's worried about how this will go down, and she gently shakes her head at me, which I know is because we've already agreed to keep things quiet for a few months, to see where things go, to ease the kids through the divorce. But I don't need more time to know what I want. I had years with my ex-wife and couldn't get a good reading about where we were headed sometimes, but with Tori, it's clear as day. I want this to last. I want something permanent, and I'm ready to invest my heart and soul into making our relationship work. As for the divorce, I've been honest with Mila from the beginning, and I don't want to backtrack now. I'm not sure where she's learned about girlfriends and dating, but my guess is Logan talks too much about his social life. Honey, how would you feel if I said I liked Tori and wanted her to be my girlfriend? No need to tell her she already is. Anything I can do to ease her shock is worth stretching the truth a bit. The huge smile on Mila's face is an instant relief.
I'd say yay!
She jumps around like I just told her Santa was about to shoot his happy ass down our chimney. I chuckle and pull my daughter onto my lap where I give her a big hug. Listen, Tori and I are really good friends, okay? That's where this starts, being boyfriend and girlfriend. This summer, she's become my best friend. I like having her around. She makes me smile, and I think she makes you and your brother happy too, right? My daughter is nodding emphatically, the excitement and joy in her face so sweet to see after I'd worried she might have a difficult time with this transition. But nope, she's as happy as a clam. All of this makes sense. Since Tori came to the ranch, Mila's nightmares have almost disappeared. A sniffle next to me makes me turn my head in time to catch Tori wiping a tear. Man, she kills me. Come here. I pull my two girls close, with my son giggling in the middle of our group hug. Squeezing them tight, I press a kiss to the top of Mila's head. But my son steals the show because he wiggles and squirms in Tori's lap, a gleeful smile spreading on his face as he points to his crotch.
I go pee-pee, Daddy. Yay, pee-pee.
We choke back laughter and high-five my boy like he hit a grand slam. Tori's been talking to him about letting her know when he has to go so she can get him to the John in time. At the very least, she wants him to gain an awareness of it to set the groundwork for potty training. Just one more thing I've been too busy to think about. It's a small victory at the end of a very long day. I'll take it.
Chapter 39. Tori. A freaking ambush. That's what I'd call this. Sighing, I glance around the Lone Star Station. The diner is pretty empty, but then again, it's mid-morning on a weekday. My sister bats her eyelashes at me, a huge, self-pleased grin plastered on her face. Traitor. Mija, my mother says, reaching for the cream. Your father and I were concerned. Here we go. They don't call me all summer, and now they're concerned. I shoot my sister a dirty look across the table, but she avoids my glare and rubs her ginormous stomach. My parents sit on either side of me at a small four-top table, right next to the table I sat at with Ethan and Logan that one time. God, that seems ages ago. And why is that, Mom? She gives me that look, that you-know-what-you-did look. I give her one in return. Seriously, I have no clue. Crossing my arms over my chest, I wait her out. She likes the build-up, the drama. My Mexican mother is where I get all my crazy, so I know how this goes. We called you, Tori. Your sister says we haven't called, but we have. I start to shake my head, but she cuts me off. ¿Por qué me dices que no? Why do you tell me I haven't? I pull out my phone and wave it around. Maybe because I have this thing called a phone, and it never rings with calls from you, either of you. Not sure why being around them makes me whine like a teenager, but 2 minutes at this table with them has me crawling out of my skin with anxiety. At Ethan's, I'm all cool, calm, and collected, but seated next to my parents and sister, I'm the fucking basket case everyone thinks I am. I'm 23. I shouldn't care that my parents don't call me. I so get that. But I care, more than I want to admit. You guys didn't really drive from Corpus to argue about this, did you? I shift in my seat, wondering why today of all days they're here.
No,
my dad interjects.
We wanted to make sure Catherine's nursery was all set up.
A part of me is disappointed they're not here for me, but I nod. I get it. They adore my sister. Hell, I adore my sister. She's why I considered working for Ethan in the first place. It makes sense my parents would want to check on Kat since she's so pregnant. My mom digs into her purse. I sit back, knowing it could take a while before she ever finds what she's looking for in there. Toothpicks, antacids, a sewing kit, an extra shoelace, mints, all shit she lines up on the table in her search at the bottom of the faux leather bag. Then she waves her tiny red flip phone.
Mira, aquí.
Look, here. With the speed of a turtle, she opens it, turns it on, and waits for the device to light up. Finally, she holds it to my face. Like, right to my face, so I have to lean back to actually read the screen. I see my name and my number. I blink a few times. Huh. Mom? That's my old number. She makes a face. It's the, see, I'm right, as usual, face. What? I told you I changed it last spring. She lifts an eyebrow that warns me I'm going to hell if I lie to my Santa Madre. I left you guys a message. Swear to God.
Don't swear.
She crosses herself, likely making a mental note to say a rosary for her heathen daughter this Sunday at church. My sister snickers across the table, and we all turn to her. Aw, you guys. I'm just so happy we're together. We should do this more often. I love having you in one place. Tears well in her eyes. Oh, Jesus, no. I sigh, feeling too wrung out to get emotional right now. Ethan's court date is the day after tomorrow, and I'm on pins and needles for him. I can't get all worked up in my family's version of a telenovela. Needing to switch gears, I blurt out an apology. You're right, Mom. I'm sorry I said you didn't call. You obviously did. All three heads swivel around, their eyes wide as they stare at me like I'm a monkey in a zoo exhibit, scratching its ass about to throw a turd. I shrug, wanting this weird moment over so we can get back to talking about how my cousins are spoiled or my aunts are gossips or whatever. Anything but this. You're right. I could have called you guys too. I probably should have. I'm a brat. I know this, but I'm the baby of the family, and sometimes I need love too, damn it. So, yeah. Sorry. After a long minute, my mom blinks a satisfied smile, and my dad leans over to hug me.
You look good, Chiquita.
Smiling at my childhood nickname, Little One, I hug him back. You too, Pops. I pat his round stomach. Enjoying Mom's cooking, I see. He chuckles.
How's the farm? Your sister tells me you're working for a nice family.
My eyes catch Cat's, and I tilt my head, wondering at my father's meaning of the word family. Does he think I'm working for a married couple, or does he know it's a single dad? I figured my sister would have told him all the details. It's a great family. I sound like the freaking Frosted Flakes, Tiger, but why spill the beans now if they're under the wrong assumption? Is this why Kat picked me up this morning and told our parents we'd meet them at the diner? She wanted to avoid them meeting Ethan? Avoid them seeing my living situation?
¿Y la esposa?
My mother sips her coffee, her expression not giving me a hint of what she wants to know. Is the wife what? I look to Kat for a clue here, but she's too busy gorging on the omelet the waitress set down in front of her to notice my distress. Come on, Kat. She's chowing down, making these hungry sounds like she's starving to death. Meanwhile, my stomach gurgles from acid reflux or some kind of ulcer, and I press a sweaty palm to my belly. Fuck it. Might as well rip off the Band-Aid. I glance between my parents. You know they're divorced, right? That I work for a single dad and his brother? Based on the shock on my dad's face and the horror on my mother's, they did not know. Folding my hands in front of me, I wait for the apocalypse to rain down on my head. It's a position I'm used to in my family, because this is what I do. I screw up. Kat finally pauses in her race to fend off starvation and waves a fork at us. Ethan is awesome. I told you guys. She says around a mouthful of food. He's good friends with Brady, and he pays his taxes, and he's an awesome dad. That's your argument? That he pays his taxes? Where has my sister gone, the one who could argue the devil out of his due? The bell over the front door jingles, and goosebumps break out on my arms. It's the most insane thing ever that as I look up, I already know Ethan is here. He's strolling up with his daughter. My first reaction is the one I always have when I see him. Elation. The same feeling I got as a kid when I daydream one day my parents would win the lotto and buy me a pony. When our eyes connect and his lips tilt up, I swear I hear that old-timey song my parents love by Frank Sinatra about flying to the moon. Or maybe it's playing on the overhead speakers. Whatever. The important thing is, Ethan Carter is mine, and booyah, baby, I'm fucking psyched. But then I remember we're not alone. That soaring sensation of being batshit crazy about him takes a steep nosedive as I quickly tabulate all the things that can go wrong when he meets my family. Sweet Jesus, I'm so sorry I haven't been to church in 10,000 years. A gurgle bubbles up in my gut. What is it they say? When it rains, it pours. Here comes the deluge. I brace myself for my parents to lose their shit. At least our brunch will be memorable, despite the hole in my stomach lining. When my sister called this morning and asked if I could join her for an hour, Ethan said he and Logan could watch the kids, that I'd earned a reprieve from the ranch. I hadn't known my parents were lurking to ambush me, just that Kat wanted to grab something to eat. Had I known,
I might have mentioned something to prepare him in case he randomly decided he needed to come to the Lone Star Diner in the middle of a workday. He's holding Mila's hand as she skips toward us. They're so freaking cute together. Pretty sure the people next to us hear my ovaries explode and splat on the floor.
Hey, babe.
The smile on his face makes my inside somersault. I smile back, likely looking dumb and in love, but he gives me all the damn feels. What am I supposed to do? Be a robot? My parents look slowly between us, like they're trying to gauge, one, if Ethan is a serial killer, two, if he really pays his taxes, and three, if we're sleeping together. No, yes, and definitely. When my father's searching gaze reaches mine, my smile fades, and I cough. Mom, Dad, this is Ethan Carter. My boss. God, that doesn't sound right, though technically it is. But I can't exactly put an asterisk by that statement and add he makes me want to spawn and have his babies. That's not brunch appropriate. I've never brought a guy home to meet my parents. Never, ever. I saw how they gave Brady the nth degree when he was trying to get Kat on the love lockdown. I didn't want any part of that drama. Ethan glances down at his shoes, a brief but shy smile on his face like he knows I have no clue how to do this, and then he reaches over and gives each of my parents a friendly handshake. In my head, I'm yelling for him to ignore everything we say at this table. Everything we say. And that he should run far, far away before this conversation goes to shit. Because it will. My father is in the middle of taking a drink of his coffee when Mila leans up on the table, gives us a wide grin, and declares,
"Tori is Daddy's girlfriend. They have sex."
Oh, holy fuck-a-doodle. Well, that was fast.
Chapter 40. Ethan. There comes a time in every man's life where you think you can't be easily embarrassed anymore, that you're grown up enough to withstand whatever trivial things life might throw your way. Your baby puking on you? No biggie. Your son peeing in your face during a diaper change? Gross, but not the end of the world. Your child pooping straight through his diaper and your jeans, too? Survivable. But your kid saying whatever crazy thing enters her brain at any given moment? That I had not taken into account. For instance, take my child, the cute one with the delighted smile on her face. My tiny intercontinental ballistic missile dressed in pink is 100% clueless that she just detonated the fuck out of any chance I had to get Tori's parents to like me. I didn't realize that was who she was meeting up with this morning when her sister picked her up. Wasn't even thinking this was where they went for breakfast or brunch or whatever this is. But Mila heard that Tori was going to eat and asked if we could too. She looked up at me with those sad puppy dog eyes, and I couldn't say no. With how much I've been working lately, I thought some father-daughter time might be good. I wanted to make sure Mila was still feeling okay about what we talked about last night when I explained that Tori and I were dating. Pretty sure this new topic takes precedence. I wait until Mr. Duran's done choking on his coffee to address my daughter. Squatting down next to her so that we're eye to eye, I lower my voice. Honey, where did you learn that word? Her blank expression tells me she has no clue what I'm talking about. Mr. and Mrs. Duran's laser point stares burn holes through my body. Christ. Was I ever this nervous with Allison's parents? They weren't my biggest fans either, but I can safely say I never cared this much. I clear my throat. Mila, Where did you learn the word sex? She shrugs.
Uncle Vogan.
Of course. Gonna kill that brother of mine. And what do you know about it? Please, God, I will do anything if she thinks sex is an island in the Pacific. She shrugs.
Just that he likes to have sex with his girlfriends? Like, all the time?
She tilts her head.
Is it a game? Like Monopoly?
I laugh awkwardly and glance up at Tori's parents, whose stony expressions freak me out. Turning back to my daughter, I shake my head. It's an adult word, okay? Kids shouldn't be talking about it, but no, it's not like Monopoly. In my head, I put two and two together. She heard my brother use the word girlfriend and sex, and she equated them. Fucking Logan. She scrunches her nose, my answer clearly not satisfying her curiosity. Fuck my life. Why don't I know how to answer this? Tori reaches over and takes Mila's other hand, her soft voice immediately soothing to my frayed nerves.
It's how babies are made, but you don't have to worry about that for a long, long time.
For a second, I'm worried Mila's gonna ask if Logan is trying to have babies with all of his girlfriends. Again, please, God, no. But instead, she shrugs again, the concern in her eyes disappearing.
Can I have some pancakes, Daddy?
She asks, and I nod, relieved to have this conversation over. Standing, I direct her away from the table. Mr. and Mrs. Duran, it was nice to meet you. I certainly enjoyed this little exercise in mortification. I hope y'all have a good lunch. Cat snickers.
Ethan, you're the sweetest thing ever. At least, that's what my sister tells me.
Pretty sure I'm blushing. A grown man blushing. I run my hand over my face and blow out a breath. When my eyes connect with Tori's, though, the crazy swirl of affection I have for this woman almost overwhelms me. Take your time here today. Enjoy the visit with your parents. For a second, it's just the two of us, like some scene out of a movie where all the ambient sound fades and she comes into sharp focus, knocking my heart rate up a few notches with her secret smile. Yep. Pretty sure I'm head over heels for this girl. I give her a wink and quickly nod to her scary parents before I scoop up my daughter and head for the counter to order her some pancakes in a to-go box. Because we need to go. ASAP.
What happened?
Logan's laughing so hard he snorts, and I shove him off the living room couch. He lands on the carpet with a loud thump and rolls onto his back. He clutches his stomach, tears streaming down his face as he relishes one of the most awkward moments of my life.
Mila said what?
He asks again, more for dramatic effect than the need to have me repeat it. Get off the fucking floor.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
With a quick swipe of his palm, he wipes one eye and then the other.
Bro.
I can't make out what else he mutters because blood is pulsing in my ears. Taking a deep breath, I try to calm down before I choke my sibling. Once I'm confident I won't stroke out from anger, I try to put into words how utterly embarrassing this situation was. My eyes dart to the hallway, ensuring my kids are still taking their afternoon naps before I jab a finger in his direction. What do I always tell you? Mila isn't window dressing. She fucking hears you talk about your dating life, dumbass. Thanks for her first lesson on sex, for traumatizing me, Tori, her parents. Fuck her parents. You should have seen their expressions, like I was an axe murderer. like I had defiled their daughter and then told my kid about it. With my hand to my forehead, I try to focus on the silver lining. Of course, Tori came to my rescue, as always.
Love that girl.
Logan pats himself on the back, literally.
Pretty sure you have me to thank for planting her cute little ass in your life.
Don't talk about her ass, I growl, even though I know he doesn't think of her that way. He'd better not be jerking it to thoughts of Tori.
Just saying, you can't be too angry at me since I'm the reason she's here in the first place. And hey, have you even thought about our court appointment this week since all this happened?
I still, then scratch my chin. My silence is the only answer he needs, and his trademark smirk spreads on his face. I hate when he's right. I've been a mess of nerves, and while informing Tori's parents that I've fucked their daughter is not exactly the reprieve I was looking for, it has rewired my headspace. Now that I'm home, though, now that I've had some time to mull it over, there are a million things I wish I'd told Mr. and Mrs. Duran. Like how much I adore their daughter, that she's one of the most capable people I've ever met, that they raised a brilliant, passionate woman who's an amazing example for my kids. Did I say any of that? No. I stumbled through a terrible description of sex, one that only confused Mila, and then hightailed it out of there. What the fuck is wrong with me? I groan, dropping my head into my hands. Never again. Tori deserves better. The front door opens and shuts with a soft click. Tori drops her bag in the front hall, traipses across the living room, and plunks herself on my lap. Before I can begin to figure out how to apologize for this morning, she beats me to it after planting a soft kiss on my lips.
I'm so sorry you got ambushed. I didn't realize Kat was meeting up with our parents.
She shudders.
Oh, I'd never drag you into something like that on purpose.
Having her in my arms immediately puts me at ease. Nothing to apologize for, honey. I'm sorry I didn't handle it better. She nibbles on her bottom lip.
I feel bad. You guys have a lot going on this week. You don't need more stress.
Logan, who's still on the floor, groans.
Aw, shit. Guess I need to wear a suit on Friday, right?
My suit is ready to go. In fact, every morning when I see it hanging in my closet, it gives me a little heartburn, knowing why I need it ready. That's probably a good idea. We can't show up looking like bums.
Speaking of,
Tori tugs on my t-shirt.
I've been thinking about your situation.
I lift an eyebrow.
Why don't you compete anymore in those cutting horse competitions?
All of my muscles tense, and I lean back, trying to put some space between me and Tori, even though she's sitting on my lap. Not sure why this puts me on edge, but it does. She must sense my anxiety because she pats my chest.
I get that there's a cash flow problem, that the competitions are expensive, but the purses are fairly substantial, and a few years of doing the cutting circuit could get you out of debt with Allison.
All shit I've debated and analyzed this summer, except I don't see how we can make it happen.
What's the biggest expense if you wanted to compete?
She asks.
The guy who provides the cattle?
I scoot out from under her and stand up. This whole discussion makes my skin itch. Yeah, that eats up a bulk of our budget.
And you pay him outright?
Nodding, I wonder where she's headed with this.
This morning, my parents were talking about this farming collective they'd heard about from one of their friends.
Tori turns to Logan to explain her parents used to be migrant farmers. The families all share in the cost and profits, you know, pooling their resources. It got me thinking that maybe you could ask the guy who provides the cattle to do it for a reduced rate for a cut of the profit. That way, you're offsetting the cost. And maybe, if you get him on board, I wonder if Allison would be open to getting paid that way, too. So rather than taking an immediate payout on the ranch, she could view that money as an investment with different terms. Say, a payout within 5 years, or whatever you guys decide. Logan and I look at each other, and that glimmer in his eyes makes me want to put on the brakes. With a sigh, I yank off my baseball cap and scrub my hand through my hair. I'd say this plan has potential, but there's one colossal variable. Leaning back against the fireplace mantel, I restrain myself from listing all the ways this could go wrong. Tori gets up and wanders over to me, beaming that luminescent smile, the one that makes me consider jumping off high dives like this one.
Yeah,
she nods, stopping right between my legs.
It assumes you win, that you go to Fort Worth and kick ass.
Her eyes cut to Logan.
Can Ethan do this? Can he go and be the best right out of the gate? Or is he just there to make his wranglers look good?
I chuckle and reach for her. I can't help it. Kinda wanna spank her for all that sass, except she'd like it. I wait for my brother to say something sarcastic, but his attention drills into me.
Ethan's the best. I'd bet on him to win. Our daddy always said he was a natural, that he had cutting in his blood like one of the horses. Now, he'd have to qualify with enough points in earlier competitions, and we're already midway through the season, but if anyone could do it, he could.
Aw, bro. Feeling a little sentimental, I shrug and struggle to find something to say, but Tori fills the silence.
I wasn't thinking that you'd have to compete right away. Just set the groundwork for it this fall. Get your investors on board and then go for it in the new year so you can have a good shot at qualifying for the futurity.
Twisting her in my arms so I can see her face, I smile. Have you been researching all of this?
Maybe.
She bats her eyelashes at me, and I belt out a laugh.
Though I might have fallen asleep reading the contest rulebook online.
I kiss her forehead, feeling cautiously optimistic. But no matter what happens, I'm grateful for this girl in my arms. So fucking grateful. Logan strides over and smacks me on the back.
Tori's made some great points. I think we should go for it. Figure shit out along the way. She's right. You could win the big enchilada in a year or two, and that would take our ranch to a whole new level. If you want to do this, bro, I got your back. I know Mom will, too, when she gets back from Chicago.
We grin at each other like assholes, and Tori coos at us.
You guys are adorable. I always wanted brothers to look out for me the way you two do with each other.
With a smile on my lips, I pull her closer and whisper, Baby, I can assure you I do not think of you as my sister. Not even a little bit.
Chapter 41. Tori.
Like this? Mila asks, her face a mask of seriousness. Yes, ma'am. You're doing great. We're sitting in the family room with a mountain of art and craft supplies. I'm showing her how to make dolls with some artificial flowers, wire, and yarn I found in the sewing room. I made her one the other day, and she loved it, so I thought we could do them together this afternoon to take her mind off her parents, who have that court date to settle their finances. I didn't think Ethan told Mila he was going before a judge again today, but when she saw him wearing a suit and tie this morning, I got the feeling she understood he was headed to another serious adult meeting. Kids are so smart. They always sense what's going on, even if they're not told. Making dolls is a great distraction for me, too, because whenever I think about what today could mean for Ethan, I want to hurl. Ethan talked to Allison for an hour on the phone yesterday, trying to get her to consider the co-op plan I suggested. I could hear bits and pieces from the kitchen, and as much as I tried not to let it bother me, by the end of the convo, when Ethan was laughing and sweet, where I could tell she had chilled out and they were getting along, a hot streak of jealousy shot through me. Deep down, I don't want them to argue. For the sake of the kids and Ethan's sanity, I can appreciate how much better their lives will be if everyone gets along. But there's a teeny tiny part that wants Ethan and Allison to stay far, far away from each other. Like, maybe on different continents. Squinting out the big picture window, I don't see the giant oak or the rolling hills beyond the ranch's sprawling front yard. The sounds of the children fade away, replaced with Jamie's private conversations over a year ago. The ones he'd dart into the other room to take, talking in hushed tones. His muffled laughter making me realize only after the fact that he was never talking to contractors or his parents or friends. I was just too naive and stupid to see the truth. Thanks for fucking with my head, douchebag. But I've learned from my mistakes. The biggest mistake was letting that breakup break me. Letting it derail me so much that I failed out of school. How on God's green planet did I give another person so much control over my life? Maybe it's all this fresh air and country living, or being away from Austin and the scene of the crime, but it's so obvious to me that I was too trusting. Worse, though, I didn't trust myself afterward. There's one thing I really need to do for myself right now. If Ethan can go through this horrid divorce and come out in one piece with this awesome business and his amazing family, what the hell is holding me back from finishing my degree? I have two classes, not rocket science telemetry or neurosurgery or decoding hieroglyphs. Surely I can handle two freaking undergrad courses. I've saved up enough money this summer to afford them, so I really have no excuse. I decide right here and now. This fall, come hell or high water, I'm getting my degree. For myself. Not because my parents are nagging me to do it, or because I've disappointed my sister, or because my boyfriend might be embarrassed that I failed out. For me. To have something I've completed that I'm proud of. Cody pops his head up over the coffee table.
Look, Toby, I color good.
God, I love this kid. I hold up my hand for a high five. You sure do color good, bud. I'm delighted that Cody's talking to me more now. It took a while, because even though I knew he liked me, he was a bit shy. Is that Thomas? This child is obsessed with trains.
Yup.
Is that what you want for your birthday? A train theme? Cody's birthday is in a few weeks, and his dad kissed the hell out of me the other day when I told him I could plan Cody's party for him. I'm sure Cody hasn't a clue what I'm talking about other than we're discussing trains, which gets me a happy, drooly nod. Hopefully my sister will see what an outstanding job I can do with a 2-year-old's birthday party since I'm not allowed to plan her baby shower. Our cousin is coordinating it. Cousin! Where's the loyalty? No wonder she didn't want to talk about it or the fact it's next weekend. Kat claims it's because I'm already working so hard on Ethan's ranch. I might have to stick a red sock in her whites the next time I do her laundry. I made one teeny mistake with those bachelorette gifts years ago, and I'm still banned from coordinating the festivities. It's not like I was planning to whip up a dildo cake or anything. Though that would be funny. We could celebrate the fertilization. My parents would die. I laugh to myself. Kat doesn't know it yet, but I am totally planning her kid's first birthday party. It'll be so much fun. Her kid will be farting fairy dust by the end of it. Mila holds out the small wire figure.
I'm ready for the next part.
Awesome. Now keep it still, okay? This is tricky, but I think you can handle it. I stretch over to the end of the coffee table and retrieve the hot glue gun. Careful, okay? I'll put the glue on, but don't touch it because it's really hot. She gives me a serious nod, and I wait for her to settle the materials in front of me. Leaning forward, I lay down a strip of oozy clear gel. This will be the prettiest doll ever. She hands me the flower, and I adhere it to the wire frame, pinching it tight. When she doesn't chirp back with her usual enthusiasm, I nudge her with my elbow. What's going on in your big brain? The kid's obviously thinking really hard over there.
Nothing.
I wait her out. Finally, she sighs.
Just, I was wondering.
I give her an encouraging smile. Mila could ask me for almost anything, and I'd try to make it happen.
Could we maybe give this one to my mommy? Of course.
I might have my differences with Allison, but I want Mila to feel loved and appreciated, and if that means playing nice with her mother, I'll gladly do it, even if that woman makes me want to punch her in the throat sometimes. A lopsided grin spreads on her face, and I wrap her in a hug. You're the most thoughtful girl ever.
You're the bestest babysitter ever.
I smile, knowing she means that in the most complimentary way possible, even though the word babysitter feels as good as rolling around in a bed of pine cones. Because it's so transitory, temporary. Babysitters come and go, and I hope I end up meaning more to these kids than a blurry memory from when they were young. Ugh, I must be PMSing. Take a chill pill, Tori. My cell buzzes on the table. Vivian's name pops up, and I send it to voicemail.
Aren't you gonna answer?
Mila scrunches her brows. Nah, I'll call her back tonight.
Why?
Because I want to give you and Cody all of my attention during the day. I boink her on her nose, expecting a laugh, but getting a sigh instead.
Mommy talks on the phone, like, all weekend.
Ah, my little tattletale. Maybe they're important calls, like, to your grandparents? Who I've heard are assholes, but again, not my business. That gets me a shrug. My phone buzzes with a text message from Viv.
Call me back ASAP.
6 texts later, including one that screams, 911, I need to talk to you now. I finally give in.
It's about fucking time,
she yells into the phone. Dude, I'm working. I can't talk. Are you dead or dying or in danger of dying? Is this a legit emergency?
Yes, it's a love life emergency.
Lord help me. You don't have a love life. Viv is a serial dater. She's more of a love the one you're with kind of girl.
I'm reconsidering getting back with David, but I can't decide, and I need to figure this out before he marries that ginger twat waffle.
I laugh and hand Mila something to color while I wrap up this call. Cody is on his 5th train design. It looks like the slug that ate New York is crawling across the paper, complete with one blob that might be a smeared booger. Turning my head and lowering my voice, I tell Viv I can talk for 2 minutes, so she'd better hurry. She dives right into the story.
Do you remember David? Tall, dark, and delicious. My only hesitation is he always has to be on top, and you know I like reverse cowgirl. Oh, and he was boring, but built like a god.
I thought you didn't like him because he's a mouth breather.
I can get over it. He makes six figures, drives a new BMW, and gets into all the best clubs. Plus, I hate seeing him with this girl. Oh, Viv. You know as well as I do that those aren't good reasons for falling in love. The fact that you need a pro-con list should give you your answer. Who says we're talking about love? She chuckles. I can't help wanting David back now that he's with someone else. It's making me reevaluate the things that bugged me about him. Maybe I can get over his mouth breathing or get him a subscription to some brainy magazine to jumpstart his personality. So, she adds with a snort, now that you're gaga for that farm boy, you're the expert. Let me ask you this. Are you in love with this guy? My heart does a pirouette in my chest, the Julie Andrews arms wide whirl from Sound of Music at the thought of Ethan. Yeah, I whisper, my answer as easy to recognize as a rainbow in the sky after a storm. I kind of think I am. An ear-piercing shriek next to me makes me drop my phone. Mila is wildly shaking her hand, big tears tumbling down her cheeks.
It hurts! Owie, owie, owie!
I uncurl her clenched hand and find an angry red burn and the start of a blister. Damn it. While I was shooting the shit about totally inconsequential things, because let's get real, David is not Viv's long-term paramour on this planet or any other, my sweet Mila burned her hand on the glue gun. I'm so sorry, Mila. I should have put that dumb thing away. I yank the offending device out of the wall plug and place it high on the mantle where the kids can't get it. Leaning over, I scoop her into my arms and rush her to the bathroom, where I clean it up.
Chapter 42. Ethan. Closing the door to Mila's bedroom, I shuffle down the hall in search of Tori. We should be celebrating tonight, but Mila burned her hand and Tori was so bummed my daughter got hurt during her watch, she retreated to her room after dinner. But now that the kids are in bed, I want to check on Tori. Knocking gently on the door, I wait for her to respond before I enter. I find Tori curled up on her bed, tears streaking down her face, cheeks splotchy.
Babe, what's wrong?
She sniffles and shakes her head.
Just emotional.
I kick off my boots and slide in behind her, wrapping her in my arms, taking a second to breathe in the sweet scent of her hair, damp from a shower.
It's not nothing if it has you in tears.
Reaching back, I pull the comforter over us to warm her up because she's shivering.
It's stupid.
You're a smart woman. Whatever's making you cry can't be stupid. Her voice, thick with emotion, guts me.
I'm really upset by what happened with Mila, that she burned herself so badly, but I'm also on my period, and that's why I can't stop crying, because what if something worse had happened?
Shh. I kiss her neck. The fact that we've only had that one injury all summer speaks to the great job you've been doing looking out for my troublemakers. Mila will be okay, I promise. No need to beat yourself up about it. By the time I got home, Tori had already cleaned and dressed the wound. If it makes you feel any better, when I was a kid, I accidentally tripped Logan and he flew into the coffee table and knocked out his front two teeth. They were baby teeth, so they grew back, thank God, or my mama never would have forgiven me.
Baby, you gotta look at the bright side. At least my kids have their teeth.
Cody is still mostly slobber, but he's damn proud of his three tiny chompers. Turning in my arms, she gives me a watery smile and burrows into my chest.
I'm really sorry, though. I want you to know that.
Tell you what, I run my fingers through her damp hair. You can make it up to me. Her head pops up, the earnestness in her eyes doing me in.
Okay. Yeah, whatever you want.
Go out with me next weekend. Her lips tug up in the corners.
How is this making it up to you?
I stroke her back and pull her over me so she straddles my waist. We're pretty far into this relationship, and I've never taken you on a date. Doesn't seem right. The night I tracked her down at the club doesn't count. Deep down, I'm big on grand gestures, and Tori makes me want to pull out all the stops. Tears pool in her eyes again.
Really?
Not that I want to know about the men she's dated in the past, but if her expression is any indication, they've been shitheads. Yes, ma'am. With my thumb, I wipe her cheek. We should be celebrating. Allison agreed to reconsider the payout, and the judge approved our interim proposal since Allison was amendable. That's due to you. Who knows what could have happened if you hadn't suggested the co-op? I was already maxed out on alimony payments. You saved the day, darling. So no more tears, okay? My kid is tough. She'll be fine. That gets me the smile I'm looking for, and another sniffle. Come here. I smooth my hand over the back of her neck and bring her lips to mine. They taste like tears and chapstick. A curtain of silky hair blocks out the dim nightstand light until she's all I can see. I lick her bottom lip, and she opens for me with a soft moan. With her curvy ass swaying on my lap, my cock is already digging into the zipper of my jeans, but I don't want this to be about me or sex or getting off. Just making her feel better. Rolling her over until we're on our sides, I slide her thigh over mine and trail my hand along her shoulders. We don't have to do anything tonight, sweetness. I know you're not feeling well. Otherwise, I'd be rubbing that peachy ass in those tiny sleep shorts.
I'm so bloated, and I have the worst cramps.
Tucking her head against my chest, she groans. If you hadn't told me you had your period, I'd never know. You're so beautiful to me. You could be prancing around in a paper sack, and I'm pretty sure I'd still have stars in my eyes. I tilt up her chin, her shy smile so fucking radiant, I finally get why those Greeks fought for Helen of Troy. In this moment, in our quiet bubble, all the heartache of the last few years is worth it. The divorce, the self-doubt, the loneliness. I'd do it again because it brought me to this place with this incredible girl. I drag my lips against her shoulder. I've heard sex can make you feel better. All those endorphins get released into your body. She arches into me, pulling me closer.
Shark Week sex kinda grosses me out, but now that you're touching me, I'm really turned on.
A chuckle rumbles in my chest. Shark Week? So, let me make you feel good. I suck on that tender spot on her neck, loving that I can feel her nipples harden through her thin tank top. We don't have to be traditional about it. I can just get you off, make you feel good. Her eyes flutter closed, her minty breath on my lips.
Okay, but we both have to come.
No objections here. With gentle movements, I kiss her lips, wanting her to feel how much she means to me. Wanting her to know how grateful I am to have her in my life. She's turned everything around. My outlook, my attitude, my expectations for my family. When she opens to me on a pleasured sigh, I stroke her slick tongue with mine until her whole body relaxes against me. "This is for you," I mumble against her swollen lips. "If you want me to stop at any point or you're not feeling well, just say the word. I'm not squeamish, so I don't want you to worry about that." Her moan is my answer as I caress her breasts. "Are these sore?" Luscious curves fill my hands, and I give them a careful squeeze. Nodding, she gasps.
"Oh, but that feels good. And, I just took a shower, so, you know, clean."
Wouldn't really care one way or another, as long as she's comfortable. "You smell delicious, and I'm hard as a lamppost," which I underscore with a thrust between her legs. "But we can take another shower if things get messy." Her lips twist, and I rub her lower lip with my thumb.
"I have a tampon in right now."
The tension in her body ratchets up again, and she shakes her head.
"Am I grossing you out? I am, aren't I?"
On a ranch, you grow up learning about reproduction at an early age. Even my brother, who has the maturity of a monkey at times, can handle the topic. I chuckle and rub out the knot in her shoulder, which makes her collapse against me with a pleasured sigh. If a man can put his dick in a woman, he sure as hell should be able to talk about her cycle. And no, I'm not grossed out. That seems to do the trick, and her lips tilt up.
"You're one of a kind. You know that?"
Her hand delves into my hair, and this time she kisses me back like her life depends on it. Using her foot to pull my hips tighter to hers, I roll her onto her back, my body cradled by her welcoming arms and legs. Our tongues tangle with that deliberate slide and thrust that mimic all the things I want to do to her tonight, even if we have to modify it a bit so she's comfortable. When her breath stutters and her chest heaves against me in a pant, I lick down the long column of her throat, across her clavicle, down the valley between her ample breasts. With a few quick tugs, I remove her tank and my t-shirt and resume my exploration of her body. First with a few soft sucks of her tantalizing nipples, which makes her squirm breathlessly beneath me. Then with a tug of my teeth that lifts her hips off the bed. Her skin smells like coconuts, the delicate scent that I've come to associate with Tori, making me unbearably hard. When I slip off her tiny sleep shorts, I do it slowly so she can stop me if this is going too far, but she doesn't. Tiny pink lace panties greet me, and her satiny skin peeks through, making my mouth water. But tonight requires patience, so even though I want to rip off the dainty fabric with a hard yank and a growl, I don't. She reaches for the button on my jeans, and I watch her lick her lips as she releases my cock from the confines of my clothes. But as she's reaching for me, I catch her wrist. "Don't move," I instruct as I grab a dark towel from her bathroom and the lube I tossed in her nightstand last week. After I slide the towel beneath us and kick off my jeans and boxer briefs, I flip open the bottle and drizzle the clear liquid over my length before snapping it shut and tossing the container on the bed. Eyes wide, pouty lips wet, she watches me palm my length and spread the lube. Squeezing from root to tip, I curve around the swollen head and back, the pace languid, because it's for her. A deep flush paints her cheeks and tints her plump, pert breasts.
"You're making me crazy right now,"
she whispers before licking two fingers and dipping her hand into her panties. A groan catches in my throat. Is there anything hotter than watching a stunning woman touch herself? Fuck no, and especially not my woman. My cock swells in appreciation of the quick motion of her hand underneath the lace, of the way her other hand pinches her nipple with a hard tweak, of her ravenous stare. I could watch you do this all night. It's true. Tori's a vision, a goddamn goddess. Hair tangled around her, tits high and flushed, slender hips gyrating to a tempo I can feel, a heavy thumping bass that extends all the way down my hips. With a squeeze to my balls, I edge back before I embarrass myself. Her sultry voice zings through me.
Ethan, touch me.
She swallows when I caress her legs, from the back of her knee to where her thigh reaches her ass. My fingers dig into that sweet dip between the two until they meet in the middle and she's out of breath. Gonna take these off? I finger the lace scrap adorning her pretty pussy. And then you're gonna come. She nods on a pant that has me palming myself again. Her eyes are hazy with lust, but beneath the desire, beneath the craving, I see something I've never had in any other relationship. Absolute trust, and it makes me fall that much harder for this girl. Keeping my eyes pinned to hers, I guide her panties down until they're out of my way, and then I kneel between her open thighs. Pulling my length up, I let my cock slap against her swollen mound, and she gasps, arching toward me and telling me yes. My girl likes it rough sometimes, though tonight I want to take it easy on her, mostly. With a leisurely thrust, I glide against her, notching through her folds, knocking the head of my cock against that sensitive nub. Slow, I remind myself, but then she parts herself so I can fit even closer, and my balls draw up tight. God damn, baby. A gasp escapes her at the sensation, and she pulls her knees to her chest, the sight enough to send me right back to the edge again. Really and truly, I want to thank Jesus right now for the honor of fucking this beautiful woman. My thrusts make her tits bounce, delighting the caveman in me who wants to carry her to my lair and fuck her into the next ice age. Nearly mindless with desire, I squeeze her pussy lips that cradle me, tightening her around me, and when she gazes down at my slick crown parting her, that's all it takes for her to come with a muffled cry. Head thrown back, body tight and arched, her body heaving. Tori's still shuddering when light dots my vision and that tidal wave of pleasure barrels through me. My body quakes as I shoot my release on her stomach, the sensation so intense I catch myself on one arm before I almost crush her. So fucking good. How does it get better every time? When I can finally breathe again, I laugh. Sorry, sweetness. I didn't mean to make a mess on you. She gives me a sleepy, sexy smile and yanks me closer. Guess we might need that shower after all.
Chapter 43. Tori. For the record, Ethan was totally right about the endorphins. I feel freaking fabulous. With a contented sigh, I push my nose into his neck, loving how he smells. I could stay in this bed with him for the next year if left to my own devices. I've never even contemplated getting naked with a guy when Aunt Flo was visiting. Jamie wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. I thought all men were like that. Even though, really, most of what Ethan and I did was in the shower, so there wasn't a mess, I'd never consider it unless I really trusted a guy, but Ethan makes me want to open up to him. I mean, I'd have to trust him to let him run the red light. His palm brushes over my stomach, an area I'm less than pleased with this time of the month. but given how we just jumped each other in the shower, I'm too boneless and hopped up on sex to care. What